Welcome to Brutally Honest with me, Jermaine Pennant. And today's guest, well, I'm very excited about this. I've been looking forward to this for a long time to get him on, Mr. Busy, which I know. He's an old friend, best friend since I was nine. I've known him. We played together, you know, all through the years, our younger years, going up to England under 21s. He's the last player to win a trophy with Tottenham Hotspurs. He's played at Nottingham Forest, Newcastle United. Absolute great guy. A good golfer too, I should say that. And every time you turn on your TV, you'll probably see him on the one show, if it's BBC Match of the Day, Match of the Day X, doing the draw for FIFA, World Cup. He's absolutely everywhere. Jermaine Genius. So, JJ, bro, how are you? Well, actually, I know, because yesterday I played golf with you and had an amazing comeback. Five points down in the
five
stretch.
Shots, or what was that? What's that? You get five shots.
Five. Where are you going there, mate? Where are you going?
You
there?
Said I just heard you say something about five, and I just assumed it was the five shots you get on me when we play. But No, you did make a big comeback. Got a big eagle, didn't you? On one of those holes again. I mean, what are you playing off these days? What, 14 or something? And you're getting eagles. It's a bit booky.
I'm playing off 10. I'm playing off 10. 10.9. You're seven.
Okay.
So anyway, so apart from that, you're good. Well, I know you're good because I speak to you most of the time, but how was things?
Yeah. No, all's good, mate. You know, my life has gone a bit wild since retirement, man. And you've been kind of obviously front and center. You know, kind of with me on the journey, as we see each other at least once a week. But yeah, just been busy, got, you know, kids in the house running riot. I got a new 6-month-old baby in the house as well. It's all good fun. I'm very blessed at the minute. I'm very lucky. So I'm just kind of like taking it all in, mate.
Yeah, you are. Do you know what? The thing is, since you retired, because you retired quite early, was it 32?
31 I was. 31, 32. Yeah.
That's quite early. And I think ever since you've retired, you've been busy. You've been active. You've been, you know.
Yeah, I had to kind of make that happen though, Penn. Do you know what I mean? It wasn't like, I don't know how you felt when you retired, but I felt like rock bottom. I felt like, you know, both of us had a very similar kind of like, you know, young careers, then into our older careers and stuff like that, and had different experiences. But, you know, especially like earlier on in our lives, we were like, you know, bigger than big, you know, the name Jermaine Pennant and Jermaine Genius as kids traveled. So I think that, you know, that impact of stop playing, like, hit me hard, man. But yeah, I don't know. You can put it down to whatever, can't you? Like, bit of luck here and there, hard work. I've been nonstop. I've been at it for a good nearly 10 years now. So yeah, it's good.
Yeah. But I want to go back to that, to our Nottingham days. We first, at 9 years of age, we both played for Clifton All Whites. And then we just literally, from then, we played in our local district team, Nottinghamshire boys, City boys. And then we've just gone on from then. We've been, you know, I'm not being big-headed, but we was the best two in our generation, our era, the best two young players in Nottingham, you know, from going all the way through the system.
No, I think that's fair. I definitely think that yours was much more standout than mine. Yours was much more kind of like, I was technically very good. You know, I ticked all the boxes. My dad was a coach, as you know. He had me kind of like, you know, whatever, Cruyff turn, this turn, that turn. I had all the attributes and I could do everything. I was just waiting for that edge that you need to be a footballer. And you had that edge. You know, you grew up playing football, as we all did, on the streets, but you was on the streets playing football on a more regular basis. And I remember, in a weird way, I'm trying to think, like, what was the very, very first team that you played? Did you play for like Meadows Colts or something, like, when you were very young or something? Or, because obviously when we came, like, when you came to Clifton, like, you weren't in my very first Clifton team, but you might have been in my second Clifton team. So it was one of those situations where we knew about you and it was like, right, we Clifton were the best team already, but obviously, I think at that time there was other teams like Oaknall Harriers and West Bridgeford that were kind of creeping, and we were like, no, I know if we get Penn, the league's done. Do you know what I mean? And you came, and our team was mad at that time. It was nuts. But you kind of cemented the deal. But those years, like, to me, like, when I look back now, especially like as a dad, you know, how things are with you in your life and how things have gone in your life and stuff like that. And it's something I always say to people, kind of, a lot of people always ask me now in the industry, I say, oh, I play golf with Penn, and they go, what's he like? Is he, he's a bit mad, isn't he? Like, it's one of the first things that come out of their mouth. Yeah. It's not, and I'm like, yeah, look, he's fun. But like, a couple of things that people like don't know about you is you're one of the nicest guys that I know, but also your upbringing was not easy. And, you know, I think, I mean, I've got a million stories, obviously, but, you know, one of those ones that massively stick out to me is when you were playing for us at Clifton, and my, and we used to come pick you up. I remember me and my mum used to like come to Meadows, to your area, to come and get you, to take you to the game. And it was always like, right, let's get Penn, because, you know, I mean, we've got a good team, obviously, like I said, but if Penn's playing, we've won the game. So I remember knocking on your dad's door, your dad answered the door, and I was like, oh, is Jermaine in? Like 9, 10 years old. And he's like, nah, he didn't come home last night. And I'm like, what? He's like, he didn't come home last night. He's probably on the streets, like somewhere playing football. So I've gone back into my car with my mum. I'm like, mum, he said he didn't come home last night. She's like, what do you mean he didn't come home? And I was like, well, he said he might be on the street, or is it his grandma's or something? So she would just drive around. And anyway, we was just driving around, and you were just on the street kicking ball. And it was just like, Penn, come on, we've got a game. And you just was like, oh, is it? Like, you always had your boots with you. Like, no matter what, you always had your boots. And I think for this one particular game, you always had like the right fitting boot for your right foot. Because you obviously it's like the perfect kind of like size 5 or whatever it was. But you had some mad like size 7 or 8. Like, it was way too big for you on your left. But you just made it work. You were just like, I'll put 4 socks on or something. It was this guy is mad. But that was your life. That was how it was. And you just, that's why I've always had a lot of respect for you. Because it's like, you know the talent is one thing. But to do it from where you came from and the support system that you had, it was mad how you actually made. It was non-existent. Yeah.
It was kind of non-existent. And I want to talk about that. As in, you said that your dad was a coach, which obviously helped you massively in your career. But also, I think he was had a massive impact, not only your career and your life as well, but your mom was also the influential that she had. She was always there, wind, rain, cold, snow. You know, Lynette was on the sidelines.
100% she was. And that's a big difference at times. You know what I mean? I was raised by my mom. My dad built and instilled a lot of, you know, values that I needed in me. So it was like, technically as a footballer, he built me and put me together with the technical things you need. And then mentally, he put some stuff in there as well. He was always trying to kind of like break me down, and my mum would piece me together and build me back up. But I think you're exactly right, Penn. She sacrificed everything, my mum, you know, taking me to games, working countless jobs to get me boots. Yeah, and it wasn't just things like that, but it was like, you know, when you're at that young age and, you know, girls start getting involved and stuff like that. And it was like, you know, the Friday night bowling or whatever. She'd always made sure I had a little £4.50 to get there, get myself some food, get home. I don't know, that security and stuff that she gave me, you know, that's why, you know, the minute I started playing, I was just like, look, mum, whatever you want, you know, go live where you want, do what you want, stop working, because she gave me everything. And it makes a big difference, you know, having that support system, as you've known, kind of with the stuff you've gone through in your life, not having that it can have an impact.
Yeah, definitely. And when I look at us both from a little childhood, we had the same tools as being professional, being the best to go forward. And we are literally polar opposite, as in night and day. I was at Notts County, you was at Forest. I went to Spurs. Your career then leaded on to be, you know, one show, BBC, BT, you know, FIFA. Now you're going to run for prime minister. You know, you can't do in the image and all that. And I'm kind of, you know, the opposite. My career was up and down and whatnot. And I do feel it's, because of, like I said, the people we had in our life. You've got some great friends, Craig and all that, who you you're a successful businessman and the help from your mom and dad, it does have an impact on half the mistakes that I had a choice as well, you know, in doing right or wrong, but to get in them situations was definitely from, you know,
I'm not sure you did have a choice. If I'm saying, there was a period in your life where you did have a choice, but there is certain framework that needs to be there to kind of like allow you to make better decisions. So for example, I think one place, you know, money, for example, you know, I know this is for a lot of either young footballers now coming through the system to be hearing, or, you know, people of our generation that played the game. And money was not explained, you know, and also we were from absolute zero. I mean, I used to put 50p in a telly for it to work. Like that is no joke. Like you'd be sat there watching telly and you'd say, click,
turn off.
The telly would go off.
Go behind the TV.
Yeah, that was it. What do you do? You'd be trying to break into this thing on the side of the telly to get the 50p out so you could watch TV again. So it was like, you know, it was no money. So then all of a sudden it's like, right, boom. You've got Arsenal, 17 years old, whiz kid, like £3 million. I've got Newcastle, £5 million, wages, money, fame, all of this madness gets thrown at you. And what are you supposed to just deal with that? Like, don't get me wrong. Like, I had moments where I had like, you know, friend groups where I came back to Nottingham and they were like, Jay, we don't really care about your Ferrari. Like, just grab a pint with you and just chill. Like, so that settles me down. Then I'd have my mum. I'd have like, you know, I'd speak to my dad every now and again. I had people around me that kind structure. Of like a little bit of structure. Yeah. So as much as I was like trying to be wild and break out of this madness of all this money and all this crazy stuff that was going on, I had enough people to keep going. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Stop doing that. Behave. Like, you know, all of those things that kept me in this nice circle. You didn't have that really. Your friends have been, you know, the friends that you've had in your life have been great. Don't get me wrong. And there for you when you need them. But the things that you needed, like, you actually didn't have. So all you did was like, you broke out and it was like, yeah, you know, I've got all this money. I'm going to get this car. I'm going to get that car. And then that kind of spirals, obviously, you know, into those other things with the drink and stuff like that and jail and stuff. But it doesn't determine who you are. Mm. And it's why, kind of like I said to you at the start of this chat, you know, I'm always championing you because of how you got there. Basically, how you got there is still a myth. It's still a myth to me. And you know, people talk about some of the best young footballers. Like obviously, people talk about like Joe Cole all the time, or maybe like I remember being with the England team and England first team, and Jack Wilshere's name is batting around the bus. You know what I mean, I'm like, God, is this Jack Wilshere or Rooney coming through? You were that guy. Like you were. You know, I remember literally watching you at the what's the England tournament that you went and tore apart as a kid?
The Victory Shield for England.
Yeah. I'm watching it on Sky, and it was like, for me being from Nottingham, like I didn't make that squad, but watching you do what you did, it was like if you did it, I've got to do it. You know what I mean? You like dragged me along to an extent with the fact that you were so far ahead. I was like, nah, I need to catch him. I need to catch him. I've got to get him. He's you know, he's my boy. And I need to be playing in the same team as him. And that's, you know, that's eventually what basically happened. You know, you just kind of like dragged me there.
Yeah. So I'm going to take some responsibility for your career then. Thanks, mate.
You can have some of it. You know what, right? This is not a joke, man. I swear to you, not a joke, right? And you sit here and laugh about that. So again, let me give you another story quickly. We meet with England. I think it's under 15s or 16s, right? You see me, like, I think it was me and a couple of others that were going on these trials for Forest. And I've turned up, blazer, shirt, tie. I've looked around. Everyone from all these other clubs, from like Arsenal, Spurs, all Liverpool. Everyone's wearing blazers. Yeah, everyone's smart. Everyone's a bit nervous. So we're like, I think we had to eat. And then we were going to like meet the coaches and then train or whatever. We're all sat down eating and everyone's just a bit nervous trying to get to know each other. And I just heard this mad beeline, just like, and I'm just like, wow. Anyway, this Saab convertible pulls in. You're in the back seat, you're in shorts and like you're in like a Liverpool kit or something. You just like jump out of the car. What's going on, boys? It's like, and I'm just like, Ken, like the coaches, they're going to be fuming.
Yeah.
And And basically, I think I remember you like walked along the thing. You were picking up spaghetti with your hands, chucking it on your plate, just rubbing it on your face, just having a laugh. You was just thinking, I don't care. But you like, you went out and trained, tore the place up, and you had this thing about you that made me realize, you know what? Okay, there's a level of professionalism that you need, but the reality is you got to be a good player. And that's what it comes down to. Because everything that you did, the coaches kind of turned a little bit of a blind eye to it because you were so good. It was like, okay, let him do what he's doing, but we'll try and nurture him.
Yeah.
And I developed a little bit of like, I don't give a F type attitude from you, and took that into my game. And that was one of the biggest steps I took at a young age, was like, you know what? I need a bit more of that mentality in my career. I'm too nice. I'm too prim and proper.
Yeah.
The minute I get a bit more of that, that'll be the key ingredient. And it ended up being exactly what I needed.
Yeah. One of our stories, which we'll get into, is City Boys. We was, I think it was 13 or 14, probably, yeah, around that. And they used to have training like once a week sometimes.
And I think is this the one we missed it?
Yeah, we missed it. Me and you both missed it. And we turned up on this Saturday. And obviously the coach tried to make an example and put us both on the bench.
Right.
And then at half time was losing 5-2. And he was like, shame.
Yeah.
He had no choice to bring us on.
No.
He brought us on and we won 7-5.
Yeah, it was a madness. It was like two hat tricks or something. It was something crazy that we did. You know what? Brilliant. You know what's mad about that, right? Like, I bet you don't remember the team that we played against, do you?
No, we didn't play against.
We played against Solihull, right? I'll never forget. Like, I remember that day, like, clearly. And a couple of reasons why I remember it is because what we didn't miss training, because if you remember, City Boys training on a Wednesday wasn't a normal thing.
No.
We didn't always train. It was like a random thing. And we didn't miss it because it was like, you know, forget training on a Wednesday. We love football. You know, I probably missed it because my mum couldn't get me there or something. You had nobody to get you there. It wasn't like we were being bad. Yeah, it wasn't like we were being bad. It was just like, we can't get there. And then we turn up and it's like, you're dropping your two best players. And it was like, okay, cool. Like, good luck with that. And then when we came on, and it was the baddest game ever, honestly.
I remember
just walking off and us both just looking at each other and just bursting out laughing like, you ain't going to do that again, you idiot.
parents are screaming with joy. It was such a good moment. Talking about some of our other stories, it's the one that you always bring up, which is amazing, is England's the England trials at Lillishaw.
Right.
But that's the one where we have came in with the loud music for my dad's friend dropped me off.
It was same
late.
One, yeah.
It was late. It's the same trip. So from start, I'm already on a minus.
This is what I'm saying. You're saying to me like, oh, the story. I reckon I've got at least three stories from that one trip of you. At least three. That's the first one, right? I think it's actually quite like chronological. I think this is basically how it happened. So you've turned up, you've done that madness in the car. Anyway, so we've gone out to training. Everyone's kind of like running around, like warm up or whatever, doing what we're doing. And then I look over at you and you're not moving. And the coach is like, Jermaine, what's the matter? And you were like, I need a Mars bar. And the coach is like, what do you mean? Just had lunch. And you're like, I know, but I need a Mars bar, man. I can't run around. I need a Mars bar. These guys went and got you a Mars bar. You've ate this Mars bar and then absolutely tore up training. And I'm going, this can't be happening. Like, I've turned up on time. I'm wearing a suit. I got my tie on. I've eaten prim and proper. You know, I've brushed all my food to the side of the plate, you know, to make sure that I'm more polite. You've turned up saying I want a Mars bar. Then at the end of that training session, coaches go, all right, boys, everyone come in. Let's have a little like a debrief type thing. You're on your own down like by the 18-yard box. We're like on the halfway line. You picked up a ball and kicked it as hard as you can and as high as you can in the air. And then it came down and hit the coach on his head.
I mean, God.
This is the same meetup.
I didn't mean to do that because I was getting the
obviously
ball.
Not.
And I was getting the balls in, trying to be like a good Samaritan. Yeah, look at him, great attitude. And I've just gone whack. And I was looking at it coming down, I was thinking, that's still going. And I can remember the coach like staggering, like, you know, he's dazed.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
You took him out and we're all trying not to laugh. And you're just like running over like, oh, sorry. Like it was nothing. And it, again, it's like, this is the same trip that you got called upon to go to the Victory Shield. None of this madness that you was going on with affected anything. But the last story of that trip was obviously about how close we were. And I think it's shown how close we were. Do you know what I mean? Because it was, everyone gets stuck in their own rooms and there's no TV. And I remember there was a radio that we had or something in my room. And it was when Liverpool played against Newcastle. And I think it was the Stan Collymore one. It was the one Robbie Fowler scored the last goal. And I was like in bed listening to this or like half asleep. And I just heard a knock, knock, knock. But it wasn't coming from my door. And I was like, where's this noise coming from? So you have took it upon yourself to climb out of your window, which is on the ground floor, crawl under, I think, a couple of coaches' window, find my window, knocked on my window. You're like, let me in, let me in. I'm like, okay, you've climbed in and you went to sleep on the floor listening to this match. I was just like, what is going on? But again, to be fair, we're both away, you know, no matter how much kind of bravado was going on, those Lillishaw trips weren't nice, man. It was like, I don't know, you just felt very disconnected of home at the time. And I remember getting home from a couple of them and saying to my mom, even if I get picked, I ain't going. Like, I'm not interested in going. I wasn't ready. But yeah, I mean, story after story on that trip, mate. I don't know how you got in that team.
We could be here all day with stories.
Too long.
Just saying that, I used to stay at my friend's, you know, Chris Joseph, in Meadows. I always just stay at his house, sleep on the floor and stuff, because I hated being at my home. Because when my dad was obviously into the drugs and, you know...
Did you know he was into the drugs as well, Penn? Did you know about it? Did you see it as a kid?
Yeah, I obviously saw him, you know, at a stage dealing, because it was the norm around the area. Yeah. It was like, okay, it was kind of, that's what I grew into. And then once it kind of flipped, where he then started using and people coming round and they was using together, it was started. Mm. My house was like a drug den, which then I never wanted to be there. I was like, you know, remember Lindsey Brown?
The famous
Lindsey Brown. I used to hate bringing around because the door would keep knocking. People would come in. You would smell it burning. It was a disgrace. I always used to stay at Christopher Joseph's, sleep on his floor. I never really wanted to be at home. It was just not a place of where comfort. I was always running out and being out and stuff. So that's where.
That's why then. Yeah, that makes sense. Because I mean, I think from the outside looking in, I think everybody knew that it wasn't stable what was going off at home. Yeah. But we also knew there was periods where your dad was there, like that time he brings you to the England game. So it was hard to kind of like balance out what was actually going on.
Yeah.
And that makes a lot of sense, really, because also you had people like Chris Joseph. I know Benji was like in the area as well. You had quite a good group of friends at that time that I think understood, because they all lived in the same area, didn't you?
It's a tough one again talking about that, because if you've got no support from your father or limited, then you know you haven't got that mother there as well. That's even, like I said, I think that's the most important relationship for a child is your
mother.
And not having that is definitely difficult for young people growing up. And there's probably young sports stars out there in all different, you know, sports who are going through the similar or had the similar upbringing and I've got a lot of baggage on their shoulders. And I'm telling you, since I can speak now on the podcast and since I've spoken to people, I feel a lot better and a lot at ease and be able to move forward and rectify certain mistakes as well and not have the same career path, like up and down, to now be more stable in my own life.
I think it's nice to hear that, I have to say, because obviously there was massive periods in your life where, I don't know, it was like you couldn't reach you, if you know what I mean, because you were never serious.
Yeah.
You're never ever serious. So as much as everybody was trying to be serious around you, you was always like the joker. You was always the class clown. Yeah. And it was obviously your own personal defense mechanism that was the reason you were being like that. So to hear you kind of say these things now about kind of the understanding, actually, why things unraveled, certainly interesting, but it's nice for me to hear, because it tells me, obviously, that moving forward, you're in a better place, which I know you are anyway, because we talk kind of obviously like all the time. But yeah, what's like, that's what I think is interesting with you, Penn, like in terms of like what is next, because you have got this side to you with like,
well, I'm trying to follow you, mate. I'm trying to follow
you. You can't get my job. I locked that off, bro. You're not getting my job. I've locked it. Go on.
Well, my next, well, like I said, answer your question is, what am I going to, is basically, you know, help now, because I'm, like I said, I'm not going to be the last adult, the last child to endure or go through these kind of situations. And if I can now help with my experience, with my background, I'm all for it. And that's what I'm looking to do. And I'm also, you know, I enjoy football as well. So that avenue is still there. I love speaking, I love my radio shows that I'm doing out there. So I'm just trying to, you know, keep on the mend, always bettering in myself. And like I said, and the more you plug away, like I said, it took you 10 years to get where you've got. You know, I'm probably now in the last couple of years really trying to put things, I wouldn't say, you know, better, put things in place and work hard like you are to have a better future, not only for myself, but for if I can help other people as well.
Yeah, because you went off piece a little bit. That was the thing when you retired. Like you did a couple of moves, didn't you, that were like, weren't football based, and they were more like celebrity television based, which, you know, at that time you felt like were good moves. And the thing I always say about those kind of things are, it's like when I did this thing with FIFA recently, and it was like, I knew it was a big thing, but also if there's any like fear involved in doing something, I'm always quite drawn to it. I'm always a bit like, right, there's a reason why I'm nervous, or there's a reason why I'm a bit scared about doing this. And I think that is all to do with growth, isn't it? So whatever those experiences were that you had when you did Big Brother, or, you know, any other stuff that you were doing, be it that they were negative or positive, whatever they were, there were experiences that have led you to go, right, that's maybe not what I want to do anymore. I want to go and do this. And if I do go down that road again, then I know I'll do it differently, type thing. So that is what I think, you know, post-career, it's one of the biggest pieces of advice that I give to, you know, players who speak to me in the game now. I have players ring me now and go, look, getting towards that point. I've seen what you're doing. How do you do it? Blah, blah, blah. And it's that uncomfortable thing. You know, go and do things that you don't feel comfortable doing. And, you know, whether that's turning up at schools and speaking to kids about like pitfalls and stuff like that of things that are out there, or whether it's making documentaries or doing podcasts, which you're doing now, then you're on the right track, mate.
Yeah, like I said, when you finish football, you do go into a place of panic. Like, what's next? You know, I've been at the helm of my career. I've been in the spotlight. I've been, you know, known. What do you do now? You're a nobody now, you know. And so when the reality TV came, I thought, okay, maybe that could be an option now. I could be TV personality. I wouldn't do it again. I would not do it again. I would, that's just stay away as far as possible for that. And just do positive stuff. If I'm on the TV, it's for positive stuff.
Yeah, good.
Yeah, nice. So. But so anyway, yeah, Jay, it's absolutely, I've been waiting for you to come on. I've you know, I love having you on. And
yeah, man,
this has been a good one. And some stories we've got with RT, it's been an amazing experience.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to do like a part two or three or something.
We will do.
Because we're going to Scotland. The stories are endless, aren't they?
Yeah, we're going to Scotland next week as well. Golfing trip. So,
Where's my trophy? Where's my trophy? My trophy's here somewhere in the office. You look at this alien vision, bro. I would have had the trophy right here for the whole chat, mate. Don't worry about that.
Listeners, if you don't understand, he's on about this trophy for the golfing. We have a golfing school, and we try to play more than once a week, tournament based. And he's won it. Is it the last two times?
Yeah, mate. Last 2 years.
Last two years, he's won it.
I've put a trophy on.
But he's a bandit. But I'm chasing him. I'm leading this year. I'm leading. So,
yeah, Scotland will be interesting. We shall see.
But JJ, as always, thank you for coming on sincerely. And I'll see you very soon, bro.
Love, brother.
Take
always.
It easy. Peace. Take care, mate. Bye, bye, bye. Thank you for listening. Make sure to join me next Tuesday. I'll be speaking with Sky Andrew, my agent. I've been with him for 20 years, and he's managed some of the biggest names in the game, along with Sol Campbell, Jermaine Defoe, and yes, myself. But the list does go on. So please join me next week. Thank you.